Hi, welcome to Culture Healing. What's going on? Welcome, this Culture Healing.
Hi, welcome to Culture Healing.
Hi, welcome to Culture Healing.
Welcome to Culture Healing.
Greetings, welcome to Culture Healing, and this is your host.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Culture Healing. Today I am here with Tony again, and guys, we are, well, of course you guys saw the video before, but I'm gonna let she introduce herself again and then I'm gonna say what I have to say. So guys, welcome Tony.
Hi y'all, I'm Tony Real, Real Queen Reflections on Instagram, and we're here to get into it, okay?
Now, I know that you guys saw the video that we previously did, and I know that you guys saw things that we revealed and stuff like that. So if you are still here, thank you for being here. And if you're still here and you are part of the healing journey, welcome to the healing journey. So far, we have 13 steps of our healing journey that we will discuss, 13 different topics that we will discuss with you to go through the different things that we felt and the things that we did during that time. And then afterwards, we're going to give you a conclusion upon that. Today's actual topic for this one will be, what kind of victim are we to ourselves, right, after being abused? So we are going to go into details of the things that we may have said to ourselves, did to ourselves during that course that may have led our life. We may not, as usual, stay to the topic, but we will be bringing some things back and forth, because you know our emotions goes when it comes to healing. It's all over the place, but it's always the wanting healing. So with that being said, I'm going to have Tony take the floor in terms of describing to us what her self-victimization was, or what type of victim she was to herself before she got to healing.
Well, for me, the victim that I was to myself, I was identifying the kind of victim that I was to outsiders, to people that I thought could benefit from my truth. Mm-hmm. And I was not truly accepting it with myself. I wasn't, I felt like, I guess, honestly, I was still in denial, technically, because I wasn't, like, you know, I was identifying, but I wasn't accepting. So to me, looking back at it, it looks like I was kind of in denial about what truly took place, who was involved. I think that played a major, major role in my denial, because I would address the situation that took place, or the situations that took place, but the details, I really didn't. A lot of people could not stomach my truth. So I think that ended up being the fence that I wouldn't cross. Right. I only had to identify it, and I never had to get in details. And I think as I continued to grow, I began to see that the details were actually the most important part. Mm-hmm. It wasn't actually the act itself, so to speak. It was the details that were truly more hurtful than the experience itself. Like, the experience itself was traumatic regardless. Mm-hmm. But the details, to me, prevented me from being able to heal. Yeah. Honestly, yes. Because the details to me,
because you keep reliving that day or time.
You definitely got to relive it. So I think that actually made it even worse, because I didn't want to. Like I said, I think I said in the last series, I didn't get to realize how deep in denial I was until I had my son, and that's when I was like, okay, wait a minute, you're not, something's off. Like, what happened? Like, let's get into it. And like I said, I never ran into someone who, that I was able to share all the details with without them. I went to counseling, and my first counselor, when I was 16, she started crying. And I was like, wait, no,
you're not supposed to be.
But it's crazy, because this is something I think is important too. As a victim, I think we tend to still be protective. After a while, I started to realize that I had to also protect the people that I was trying to seek help from.
Right.
So when my counselor cried to me, I think it kind of broke me a little bit.
Yeah, because you wanted her to really protect you in that moment instead of you doing it for you and her.
Exactly. And I think after that, I was like, and then another thing too, I want to add, do you call it? Like the whole disclaimer. That is like, pretty much like what you say will be held against you.
Yes.
If you say something too, you know, that we have to report. So that was kind of tricky.
Yes.
Like I said, I was 16 when I went, and I was actually in the midst of being abused, not sexually at the time, but being abused by my mom's husband at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had so much to juggle with just like life. Between trying to be a certain way in counseling, trying to be a certain way in my house, trying to be a certain way outside my house, trying to be a certain way at school.
So many personas that you're living at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's hard. So I think that naturally makes you become more in denial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, crazy. For me, what a lot of us don't admit to people when we go through abuse is that she mentioned something about being different people at different times. Is that we actually take up different personas, and people call it multiple personality. We as abusers actually have different personality in how to be with our friends, how to be with your parents. If it's so, in my case, where it was somebody in my home that did it, it was my nurturer that did it. And I had to be a certain way with my mom because I can't tell her, she can't protect me. I had to be a certain way with my family. And then I had to be a certain way at school. And those things were really, really heavy. You needed somebody to talk to. I had to be a certain way with my siblings. I couldn't tell anyone because, again, if I did mention something, I was going to get my ass whooped, which did happen on a lot of occasions. So for me, my victim was, it wasn't, I didn't relive it with sympathy. My victim was just me shutting down and being hard on myself. I was consistently hard on myself in everything that I do. Like, I always was needed to be in control because I lived not being in control so long. And every single thing around me, I needed to know what is happening. I needed to be aware of it. I was constantly busy with my mind, planning, doing this, doing that. And for me, I take that as my victim because I never had a rest day. That's why I take that as my victim. Right. And I never had a rest day where I'm not protecting me. I'm not thinking of another day that I need to fix this because I don't see anybody capable enough to fix it for me. For young, I had to think about if he comes home, where should I go? Should I take up a task and say, well, I'm going down the road so he don't call me? Should I make myself scarce? Right. Should I just get this over with because I know what comes next? Should I just send my sibling in to do a task because I know that if it is that I don't going, and they're going, my brothers, whatever it is that he calling me to do, I stand him in place to me because I know exactly where this is going, you know what I mean? So all of those things, I had to be thinking from a young age on how to strategize certain things. For me, I think my victim was control. I needed to control certain tasks to protect me. And that, and how that went. And I know a lot of people become master strategists after going through their abuse, but again, we've all got to learn that this in all is in our survival mode. We become strategists early because of a survival mode. So that was my victim. But for other people who the victim was their use and their ability to get sympathy, what can we say about those? Because for me, I've never used mine to get sympathy from people. I actually just lived. So can you relate in any form or fashion about that?
I can definitely relate. To me, sympathy didn't even exist.
Woo.
So it was like, I'm almost 30. So it's like, in my recent years, I've gotten empathy. It still seems like sympathy doesn't really exist almost. Yes. And I think that was the most disheartening part of it all. Mm-hmm. And I never did it for sympathy because to me, in order to do something for sympathy means that you have to get it.
Yes.
However, I do notice other, like my experience with other victims who, you know, were also in denial or, you know, maybe, you know, balancing it the best way that they could. A lot of them actually do fall more into that self-victimization where they only kind of share for sympathy. They have no intention on healing. They have no intention on growing, fixing. And then honestly, those seem to be the people that constantly are in these same situations throughout their life, like, and won't
ever take accountability. Mm-hmm. They're still referring what I just did right now to what happened when I was, you know, 5 or 6. And it's like, okay, man, you 40 now. Mm-hmm. Like, point in time, we do have to take control.
Let go.
I think it's definitely that part. And another thing I want to say that I've noticed is, again, the dissociation mm-hmm. with thinking, oh, well, you were raped this way, or your sexual trauma was this, and that's not mine, so we're
right.
not.
And the comparisons.
That's weird. And I think from listening to what you were saying and what I said about what kind of victims we were, it's funny because I'm thinking in my head the birth of overthinking.
Mm.
Because it's like from a young, especially both, you say you were 6?
6.
6, and my mm-hmm. earliest was 5. Mm-hmm. And then we both, it still extended from mm-hmm. 5 and 6 to what, 9 and 11 and so on.
Mine
and so on.
Was 11, yeah.
Such a huge gap between mm-hmm. just that ongoing, and they were women too. So mm-hmm. it's like, just that ongoing overthinking. You gotta overthink if you have to constantly dissociate who you are.
Yes.
Who you're around.
Is a plan.
So it's like, mm-hmm. wow, no telling that we, you know, you grow up into becoming a woman and you overthink every single
yes.
thing. Like, how do I behave with this person? How do
yes.
I behave?
So and like, there comes that different personality that men is like, why do you have to, we're mainly talking here about abuse people. About what they go through in relation. We're not talking about women who were never abused. This does not apply to you. Unfortunately, go to my other videos, you'll see that. So this topic and everything we're talking during this series is just for abused women. So when we were in a relationship, you realize that our men would say, well, why do you have to think about everything? Why do you have to see certain things this way and do certain things that way? Because we've been living that for a long time. And we notice weakness. We notice when things are not going to be done. We notice certain things early because we've been living in that mode for years to protect us. Mm-hmm. So because some of them are not aware that this is a mechanism that's been instantly installed in us, it becomes an issue for us in relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And that is where a lot of things comes into play, where we are like, we don't know how else to be. We weren't taught how else not to do the things that you are complaining about. Right, the things that you are trying to tell us that is not healthy to us, it is healthy because this is the thing that saved us. Understand, this is the thing that made us sin. This is the thing that we've been coping with for years. So, to you, try to understand, men, this is me talking to you now. Try to understand why she's living in that mode. Learn why it is that she's created a mode like that. A woman is not naturally going to come into your life and just want to control shit. Figure out why she's that way, how long she's been living in her masculine, whereas she doesn't even know how to let you have her feminine because her masculine is afraid of her feminine being hurt. All of us abused people have been living in our masculine for ages. Understand? Yeah. So when you come to me as a man and I be in my masculine, you got to prove to him that you could protect his childhood. This is his baby. He been protecting from the moment she got abused. Understand? So you got to prove. And she mentioned something earlier. I'm going to let her explain it to me, but I think it is so beautiful. She said that when the father take the daughter down the aisle, how he give away. Like, elaborating this, boo, tell them what you say. Yes, that was beautiful to me. You want to say?
So I was thinking, like, okay, so you got that. Okay, so for me, the moment that you become the victim mm-hmm. is the moment where the masculine energy, because again, we both, that's what I love about this platform, because mm-hmm. you always stress the fact that we both, male and female, we both have masculine and feminine energy, period. Mm-hmm. So I think from my personal experience, the masculine energy within a woman gets activated the moment that her feminine is, I don't want to say destroyed, but
she's checked aside. She's not in use anymore. He's taken over.
Yeah, because another masculine that is, like you were saying, I think you said addressed in the first series.
Yes,
it's so much bigger. The voice is so different than our feminine masculine energy. Mm-hmm. However, it's like we can only do the best that we can with our masculine energy. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's no different than the father passing off his daughter to her husband. Mm-hmm. I feel as though you know, we don't have that. You don't gotta go through my father. You gotta go through my masculine energy, because my masculine energy has overstepped all of the other masculines in my life, because no one to me has been able to protect me the way that I have been able to protect me, obviously, because we're still here. So it's like the survival mode was almost turned on. And to me, if you're, you have to go to the woman and say, you know, can you, will you marry me? And you know, this is why I know that I can be the masculine that you need, because I've been listening to you and your pain. So I think we got to pay attention to that and how that connects. Cause I think the bigger masculine that you got to deal with is the masculine in a woman. It's not the masculine outside of all those. And I think that's the part that I always feel kind of disrespectful. Like, you're going over me and just go to my dad and ask my dad. Like, you don't need a relationship.
So it's
like, I don't know.
I get you. Just to piggyback off of her as well, of what she was saying. And that is how our masculine becomes known. He makes you know that he is there in a manner that he... And the thing about it is that a lot of men don't realize dealing with abused women is that you are clashing with a male like yourself. He can see your bullshit. Understand? He's going to tell you about your bullshit. She, on the other hand, can't say anything because right now she is not strong enough, or she's not healed enough to come forth and be the nurturer that she is entailed to be. The man isn't, really and truly. So both male are clashing in this relationship when you're dealing with abuse.
That's a lot of energy.
Yes. Both. Both are, because... Exactly, because they both want control, one, but her masculine not only want control, he also wants to continue to protect her. Remember, whatever it is, you are scaring her. You have triggered a fear within that person, within that feminine, within that female. So now he is up in your face, protecting her with her loudness, blah, blah, blah. Remember, he don't know how else to be but a protector, however he's been protecting her for however long it is. So for a male who has a female, understand in that moment when you've lost your female who is rational and be can be able to talk, and all of a sudden you see a more aggressive version of her, a more controlling version of her, that is her masculine came back into play to protect his baby. Understand? Right. He is in protection mode until you can prove to him it's not even her anymore. Because she's still unhealed as is. Until you can prove to that father, that male within her, because right now that's her father, right? That's her uncle, that's everything. Until you can prove that you can protect her emotions, you can heal her emotions, you can take her no matter what happened, he's going to give you full control. But as long as he's still living in the masculine, know that you haven't done anything to prove to him that you can have his girl. Understand? Yes. So now that we've done that, so let's discuss, because I have seen a lot of females who have used their abuse to manipulate people. And for me, right, that is the worst thing you could possibly do to something, to your pain. Use it to then cause pain. That is just dumb and dirty. What are your thoughts? Have you done it? For me, I did it once.
Okay.
I did use my pain to manipulate in myself. And that was me, again, in a survival mode. But as I saw myself doing that, I was like, yo, no, because I couldn't recognize it, because my abuser was extremely manipulative, right? And I noticed that within myself. And guys, this part here where he was manipulating and I become manipulative, we have a topic that we call imprinting. We're going to actually go into that as well. And that got imprinted on me, and I started to use it as my survival mode. And when I recognized that, I was like, yo, you actually doing a manipulative mechanism here. This is not the way that you do it. You've lived that. You've seen it happen to you. You shouldn't apply that to other people. From young, since I know about my abuse, I have never used it to hurt other people, because it was used against me, right? Why would I want to hurt myself when others have done it? I have never wanted to be a victim to myself, because I've never had a friend or somebody else that I can confide in, but I can confide in me. So why not create a safe haven within myself? So what about your thoughts about people using it as manipulation?
To my knowledge, it's, you know, I'm gonna say this.
Mm-hmm.
What you just said was perfect. Mm-hmm. Actually, with it goes back into the imprint,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is where we have to analyze, even though we don't want to. We have to analyze who did it to it. That's what who is important.
Yes.
Like what is their character?
Mm-hmm.
My rapist was crazy because he was so gentle, vulnerable, open, understanding, articulate. He was. And now that I'm thinking about it, he seemed to be a balanced man. And I think that is what kind
threw
of
you off.
Me. Yeah, it just threw me off completely because it's like he represented, honestly, he represented a wounded man.
Mm-hmm.
But a wounded man is more vulnerable. A wounded man is more open and honest. He told me things. We had this real sick bond because he felt so comfortable coming to me and talking to me.
Mm.
So it's like when you talk
he
about
he made you him, feel like an adult.
Continue. Yes,
continue.
I'm like, you are so mature for your age because I would listen. But see, that goes back into the trauma bond. So from his perspective, he thinking I'm his girlfriend and I'm his wife and we gonna be there forever. But from my perspective, this is survival mode to me. I'm listening because I'm trying to figure out why you keep doing this to me.
Right.
So I got to learn him in a way that was bittersweet because it was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, what's going on?
Right.
But you know, again, I see where as though that imprint happened to me in so many ways because he was able to come to me and he was the one hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when I look at my life, everyone who felt the most comfortable coming to me hurt me.
So and I'm that like, too is a trigger. It puts you on defense because you're like, okay, you know what? Some shit about to go down.
Mm-hmm. What do you see in me?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that imprint is powerful. I think where you actually
when we get into that, that's gonna be
you
deep.
You gotta look into your rapist or you know pedophile whatever because what have they imprinted and left on our ego? You know.
Yes.
Yeah, because I would listen a lot. I would listen a lot, whereas though I didn't really speak as much, I would just listen to the wounds or the inflictions that my offenders would have experienced. Like I could tell you every single thing about everybody that hurt me because they told me. And I think it almost was all, now that I'm thinking of it, it seems like, what's the word I'm looking for? An excuse? As to why
justify their doing, justification.
Because you know, and see, that's what we're empathetic naturally because it's like, I know how you feel because you made me feel this way.
Right. Boom, boom, boom.
So like, of course I can relate to you because you have projected all of your insecurities onto me. So I have no choice but to be able to relate with what you're saying and how you feel and what you're doing to me. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I have seen people use their victimization to their try to use it to their advantage, but honestly, I've never seen it work.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it work because, like for me, I would see it and be like, "I'm not doing that," because for me, it's not fair to one victim to do that to another victim. I just don't think
that's
like you're almost saying that then you are comparing our traumas because you're saying like, oh well, I know you went through, that's what I was saying earlier with the breakdown of people thinking that, you know, a certain type of penetration is different than another. And
it's
how are you saying that a person that is
angry
anal, their anal
penetration
versus vaginal, like that's been the biggest honest disconnect. Yeah,
no, honey, it's the same bad thing. It's a foreign ass object going into places. It's the same thing. It's like pricking you with a needle. It's the same thing. Okay,
it's the same. It's a pain. It's it's violation. And I think again, we get so wrecked up into that. Like, oh no, you didn't get penetrated in your anus, so it's different. No, it's not. I still got like, what age did you get like all of these details matter. You got people who weren't penetrated in your anal, but were penetrated at 5 and 4 and 2. So So it's like, how could you dare compare the two? So mm-hmm. I think that's when you have that whole like victim comparison, like mm-hmm. a challenge almost.
Yeah.
Like
my pain is more than yours.
But then you got, I know for me personally, the people that I'm, the situation that I'm thinking of, it was one time for those same people. Mm-hmm. Whereas though you had people like me and you that
yeah,
it
years,
so long.
Years, buddy. Years.
That's not the same.
Let me
like,
tell
that's,
you.
That's not a comparison.
Let me tell you. Mine went on for years upon end. Like mine, if he wasn't working, he has this job that he goes to and it lasts about a good 6 or 2 weeks. And then he's home. He'll be home for like a month or 2 months. And the thing about it, we actually doing this as well, where, and mine comes into play, where your parents use material gains to make it up to you. I learned early what material bondage of guilt, I should call it, is, because he used to work for a lot of money. And when he comes back into town, he disguised it as, because I'm the oldest, I would get more money than others. But I knew that wasn't that. Come on now. I've been studying this shit for years. So he would come back into town when I get a set of money, more than my siblings, and we are good to go. Then a few days or so later, after he's all settled in, guess who have to earn their money? You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I learned early, not to like money, basically. Like, seriously. And then I learned early to work for my own money. And that's where that developed, where when it comes to money, if you're giving it to me for just because, I'm gonna look at you like, it's okay, boo, I'm gonna get my own money, it's fine. Right now, the thing about it, that imprinted, that just didn't happen to me once, right? That happened to me more than once. So I am going to be skeptical for more years than most. Realize that this is what we are both trying to do here during this series, is to show you, basically, you've been eating the same set of food for years. Then all of a sudden you want to go on a diet. But your diet don't last. You come off your diet because you craving sugar, you craving this, you craving that. It takes you a while, more than 21 days, for you to literally change over what you have been accustomed to for years. The same thing with an abused person. They've consistently had the same abuse for the same amount of years for a long time. You don't even know how bad or not bad the abuse was. It's going to take them some time to heal, to forget, to feel again. Most of us shut down our emotions and shut down our feelings in our body. We don't even know what it's like to really enjoy a sexual act with our partners that we claim that we love, because the person who claimed to love us show us love as pain, but not as a good feeling. Let's talk about that. Or we should make that a topic, or we should talk about it. I can cut this part out. Should we make how our way of seeing love is different? We should talk about it. No, we should do a whole topic about that.
That might be a whole topic. Yeah, that's deep. That's deep, because I feel like that pulls us back into the adult present right now. That's a topic right there, because yeah, you numb. You so numb, you can't even turn it off.
Right.
Because you didn't even create your, like I wrote numbness when you wrote it. I'm like, you didn't even create your numbness. So I think about like going to the doctor and getting put to sleep or getting numb.
Right.
You know what it, but how long would this numbness last? But then you got the mask and kind of protecting that numbness. So I feel like as long as the masculine is present, the numbness will still be there.
Got it. It's a different topic.
That's deep. I got my mind stuck with that. Because I'm like, yeah, the numbness, that's true. Deep.
All right, so that's back to the video. Okay. Right, so you have been living this for years. The person that supposedly love you has created love to hurt. See that crossover? Understand? So we've been living, oh, I love you, baby. And I'm like, what type of love do you love me? Right? It's like a wall. You come at me with shit. Like, she don't like beautiful. And it's like, oh, you're beautiful. She's like, what type of beautiful do you see me as? And me now, I've always been looking good. Oh, you look good. What type of good do you see me as? Right? It's like we got you there ready. The male there talking about, okay,
who he about we should interrogate. Like, he come up in his masculine, of course, she is like, God, he push your hair back. So talk about, I got this baby. And he about here protecting you. Understand? So we have been living the masculine in a long time. And that masculine has been the one that has, if I can say, he has been kind of abusive as well. Can we talk about that too? Where he is protecting us, but he's not allowing her to be strong or to prove herself, to show that she can protect herself as well. Right? Can we discuss that too? Because we can be the pain to ourselves as well. Let's talk about your masculine and the things that he would not allow your feminine to do, or you feel like she got it, but all of a sudden he, you know what I mean?
Only thing pops in my head with that is independence.
Right.
And I try to tell people about being independent, especially being a Black woman. Like, being independent is like a force. Mm. So when I think of independence, I think of masculine. I think of the masculine literally protecting the feminine by being independent. Mm. So I think from my personal experience, I never wanted to be independent. I really wish I could have grew up and been wealthy and been... didn't have to work. I never wanted to be these things, even before having my son. But it was before I had my son, I was a go-getter. I gotta get it. But like I said, I think that was my masculine trying to protect me from future masculines trying to take advantage of me. And it goes to what we were talking about before with the whole, I felt the need to be independent. So therefore, that when the real masculine stepped up to the plate. Thank you. When the real masculine steps up, he would then be forced and just go back into the control.
Yes.
The real masculine that is for me would be forced through the control of my masculine to then cater to me emotionally.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to tap all of the financial stability that I needed. I had a house, a car. I need everything that a man would so-called provide for a woman. I had it already. So that made me feel more comfortable as a feminine. But then I felt as though the masculine, to answer your question, the masculine in me wouldn't even allow the feminine in me to surface. I remember at 16 telling myself to stop crying. But when I think of feminine, I think about tears. I think about being open with your emotions. So it's like my masculine was taking advantage of me by not allowing me to, you know, be protected by my own masculine energy, but then be emotionally vulnerable with myself.
Check it. I just add this part in whatever you're going to say, because I know this part going to hit you for six. Your masculine learned to be that way from the masculines around you. So you see that? What type of victim are you? Is the name of this one. See that here now? Yes. Continue, boo.
You got the mask. See, when I think of, this is deep, because you have the other victims that surround us who are not open to being victims and accepting that they are victims, because they can say denial aspect. Who now you're around so much masculine energy, whether it's a man or a woman, that of course you don't even know where to start with your own feminine energy. Because I think as a Black woman, we very seldom do we see feminine energy that is healthy. A lot of people are more feminine than masculine or more masculine than feminine, and it's not a healthy balance. So I think, especially with us being victimized so young in our childhood, I think that makes so much sense. It seemed like the masculine didn't even have an opportunity at
all. To grow.
We never really saw that feminine energy, because you got women who protect themselves in the same way that we are.
Yes.
So it's like, where do you even see a healthy balance of femininity? I've never seen it, me personally.
Honey, I ain't seen a single thing. I had to teach my damn self how to do it. Where she at? Show me shit so I can be her, please. Because listen, there are so many females around me, my ass been sucking up the male shit. So I've been mailing this life forever and ever. But when it comes to a female, and this is where you get us, I know you can relate to this too, where the man will come into a relationship and want you to be feminine and be like, oh, baby, let me give you a massage. Or, oh, baby, this. And then you're like, without you talking about massage, you better massage me instead. Like, we're demanding what you demanding from us. Because guess what? We don't know how the hell to do what you want me to do. Understand that.
is a foreign concept to us because we've been living you for a long time. So the things you may want from us, we now have to relearn. We now have to heal the child that we left all the way at 6 years old, because she's still waiting for she to come up with the masculine that leave her there. You know, he don't really bring her. He's still protecting her. So she's still left at 6 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, whatever years old it is that you got yourself abused. And he been living his life, you know what I mean? And you've been behind there on a 2% battery, may or may not die, because he about, hey, got you. He got your back, right? And you're like, I want to come and see the world too. He's like, no, you may get hurt again. So stay right there. Right? So he is doing his best to protect you and get lost in the or don't even know that his protection of you have hindered your growth. That has been a part of our lives for a long time. We have been hindering our growth. So sometimes you will see the same people, the same abused people, the victims, they're the one that they want a lot of attention. I know I wanted a lot of attention, but I wanted the right attention. The ones that are manipulating, the ones that would do anything for you to see her, but she wants you to see her. That's what the feminine is trying to do. So all in all, he himself has done you wrong by force, not forcefully, but by protecting you over the years, that he forgot that he needed to bring you to growth. He needed to teach you to heal so that way you can come forth and lead with him.
That's deep. That's real deep. I'm thinking, right, because I was forcing my feminine out. And I think that was a problem too, because I was massaging. It ain't a guy that I was talking to who ain't never had a massage. I was doing all of the things that I thought a feminine should do. Right. And not because I never saw it, but I'm just like, should I want a massage? So I think that goes back into a whole nother thing, like you said, because we do know what the feminine wants. Mm-hmm. So I think we do